Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, Sports Open Line, 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk a little football with Chris Landry coming up in our next segment. Ozzie Smith at 7:30. And then a great portion of a conversation with Dan McLaughlin and Jim Cavanaugh coming up at about 7:45. Chris Raby with you. Ben Boyd, our executive producer. Mike Anderson's my guy. I don't know, man. M&M's are good. Here in the KMOX studios, we're hanging out until 8 o'clock. And we're back in a moment with Chris Landry, the Landry Man, after this on KMOX.
For the championship!
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Little Dipsy Doo, Jabberoo!
On KMOX.
She put $900 on the fifth horse in the sixth race. I think his name was Chip Savoy. Came in six lengths ahead. We spent the whole next week getting high. At first I thought that she hit on some chip that she got from some other boy. We were overjoyed.
Time for the Landry Football Report on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Landry joins us from LandryFootball.com. Join right now and join all 32 NFL teams and 78 major college football programs. Getting the inside information from the guy that's done it all for less than a magazine subscription, LandryFootball.com. What's up, Chris?
Oh, just another week in football. It's fastly getting away from us. The college season, already week 10 in the NFL coming up, week 11 in college football. Where has the time gone?
Yeah, you know, it was a fun week last week with some big-time games, mm-hmm. some exciting games. And I have to say, you know, you were right in the money as far as the Alabama and LSU game went. And, you know, Chris, I had been impressed with LSU all year. I thought they'd score a little. I thought Alabama would score a bunch. I certainly didn't see that game playing out the way it did, with LSU both kind of stymieing Alabama's offense early on, LSU getting nothing going, still somehow in the game, and then Alabama and Tua just pulling away late. Wow.
Yeah, really impressive. You know, this Alabama team offensively is so good. Their offensive line's outstanding, doesn't probably get enough credit. Tua's outstanding. They were patient. They carved up LSU methodically. They were able to run the football. They were patient in the passing game. They did have the one pick on a long throw. But it was a really solid performance all around offensively. Defensively, that's where it really stood out. I know LSU's offense is not very good, and that's where I thought the game would really, pardon the pun, would turn the tide there in Alabama's favor, because I just didn't think LSU would be able to do enough on offense. And this Alabama defense was phenomenal. LSU couldn't block three man pressures of Alabama. And so it was very, very difficult for them to get any traction in the run game. Did nothing. 12 yards rushing. A little bit more than that. The stats in college football are ridiculous, how they take it off of sacks and all that and runs. But they couldn't run the football. And they certainly don't have much of a passing game. And they couldn't get the ball out quickly. Alabama did a good job knocking batting balls down at the line of scrimmage, and they couldn't cut them at the line of scrimmage. They just couldn't get any traction going offensively. It was a dominant performance from a team that is utterly dominant, that doesn't have much weakness unless you can get it in a close game and force them to kick the football, in which they have trouble doing that.
Yeah, I wonder, after they were 14-point favorites at Death Valley, what the spread would be right now on a neutral field in a playoff game against Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, what it would be or perhaps will be against Georgia in the SEC championship on a neutral field. I have to imagine it'd be right around two touchdowns, right?
I think that Clemson might be, I'm going to guess here, you know, maybe six or seven. I think Notre Dame would probably be more along the lines of, you know, 12, 14-ish, maybe same for Michigan, and I think probably same for Georgia. Oklahoma would be probably more like 16, 18 points. So, yeah, I think that they're maybe the only team they wouldn't be double-digit favorites against would be Clemson.
So you see Alabama, then Clemson, then kind of everyone else. What
Yes.
impresses you about Clemson as far as that separation?
Well, they've got really talented defensive front. They've got guys that can get good base pressure. Now, their secondary is not great, but it's pretty good. And when you can play, you can zone up on the back end and bring pressure with four man, then you've got a chance to have some success to slow them down enough to where you can match some points with them offensively. And offensively, with Trevor Lawrence, they're hitting on all cylinders. I get it. They're not playing a real tough schedule. They're scoring 70 points, though, just like Alabama did. And we heard the same thing. Well, Alabama hadn't played a tough schedule, yada, yada, yada. Clemson's pretty good. Let me say this. You know, everybody talks about Alabama has far and away the best talent in the country. They don't have far and away better talent than Clemson. Nor do they have far and away better talent than Ohio State or Georgia. But they've got, I think, better talent, and they certainly are developed and prepared better on a week-in, week-out basis. And the fact that Alabama now has an offense that's explosive, they've got the most explosive offense in college football. When have we been able to say that about Alabama's Yeah. offense under Nick Saban? It's not been explosive. It's been like an anaconda that just squeezes the life out of you and runs the football. Now they explode on you. And so that is tough. I mean, Clemson with Lawrence is special. And, you know, it's to beat Alabama, Chris, you've got to have a great quarterback or a quarterback that plays great in a given game. And that's going to be tough to see somebody do that well enough to beat him. I really think it comes down to the health at quarterback. That's the only thing that could bring him down to the pack and maybe allow somebody, you know, a better than average chance.
LandryFootball.com is the website. LandryFootball.com. Did it surprise you what Missouri was able to do in Gainesville against Florida?
Oh, it did. It did. And all kudos to Mizzou and Barry's squad rising up. You know, you could, you know, you see when a team hasn't won a conference game and it's tough to, you know, it's tough to fight sometimes. You got to fight through it. They fought through it. Very, very impressed. Was the surprise of the weekend. It was the eye-opener game of the weekend because I didn't see it happening. I didn't see them going on the road and getting it done. It just goes to show you again, and we see this almost on a weekly basis, you never know when or where it's going to happen. But you play hard. You make some plays. Things can happen. And Florida did not play well in any facet, and Missouri did and deserved to win it.
You know, I think you, again, go back to just a couple of plays, and again, the teams they've lost to, three of the four losses to teams that are in the top 11, obviously in the college football playoff rankings, and then I think you wonder, well, what's going to happen next year? And if Drew Locke leaves, if there's no Emmanuel Hall, if some of the weapons leave, and I think a lot of folks are kind of holding out hope that maybe there's a fit for Kelly Bryant when there's a player of that caliber, Chris, and the situation he's in, and he's looking kind of around the SEC, maybe some schools that are fairly similar in Missouri and Arkansas and Mississippi State. What factors go into the decision that fans maybe see, and what goes into that that we don't see?
For Kelly, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think he wants to go where he's got a real opportunity to play, which that constitutes a lot of teams. I think the fit where you can use his mobility, because I think that he's very effective with that, and maybe run an offense that has a little tempo and that can be effective running some RPOs and doing some of the things that he does so well. So I think system fit's important. Obviously where he plays is most important, but system fit. And then I think where he can has a chance to have the most impact, where they can win. I think that, you know, you'd like to go somewhere where you can have a chance to be successful. I Arkansas, he's got a background a little bit in that, you know, he was recruited by Chad Morris, so there's a familiarity there. It's a system fit. How good is Arkansas going to be? How good is Missouri going to be? How good is North Carolina going to be? I mean, Auburn, you know, can he make an impact there? I mean, you know, I think he has to look at all that. And if all else is equal, then, you know, and he can find a team that's has a chance to be really good and they can win, I think you look at all that. I think it really comes down to, like in anything in recruiting, though, Chris, this is where he is. He's basically on a recruiting trail where he feels, you know, most comfortable, where he kind of fits in, and it's really going to come down, I think, to the head coach and the offensive coordinator and how the fit is and the style. That's the most important thing for
him. Chris Landry is with us from LandryFootball.com. Go to LandryFootball.com right now. Membership options, monthly, 3 years, 6 years, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or yearly. You can sign up for 9 years if you'd like. Chris, let's hop over to the NFL right now. What a game it was. The New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Rams, holy cow, that was about as good as advertised. I guess maybe not if you love defense, but that was something special, wasn't it?
It really was. Offensively, you know, it was going to be a shootout type of game. Which defense could get some stops? The Rams get a turnover early. Saints bow up and hold them, and then they're able to create some mistakes by the Rams, and all of a sudden it's kind of like a tennis match, isn't it? I mean, it's like I even tweeted out there that, hey, Saints are up two service breaks. Yeah. Boy, they're in good shape there. And that's kind of the way it was. But Rams come back. I thought the Rams showed an awful lot coming back from a halftime. I thought they were, you know, maybe one score away, a long drive away from being put out of the game in the third quarter, but they would have none of it. They got back in the game, fought back. I thought they showed a lot. I thought Goff played outstanding. I think both of these teams are vulnerable in the secondary. You can throw the football on them. I thought the Saints' offensive line was phenomenal, blocking a very good front. I thought that was the key to the game, because I thought that's where the game could go a little sideways for the Saints. But their protections were really, really good. Listen, games in Los Angeles, probably a little bit different outcome. In New Orleans, that's a tough place to play, and it kind of fuels the Saints' defense a little bit, and I thought it did so, and to their advantage. Now, it makes it interesting because, you know, it is a little early for this, but yet not too early going into Week 10, that, you know, the Saints, with the same record as the Rams, hold the tie-breaking edge for the number one seed. But a long way to go, and we'll see how this plays out. The Saints are in a tougher division. They've got to play Carolina twice. That's a really good team. So, as I said, if that game is a precursor to a potential NFC Championship game, we could get much worse, I can tell you that.
Drew Brees has thrown one interception. It's incredible. Age 39, he'll be 40 in January.
I know, and it was just this past week he did it, and it was the Minnesota game he did it, where he forced the ball in there. No, he's just been so clean, in addition to being spectacular. And then, of course, I know you probably, you know, talk about Dez Bryant signed today with them, and
what kind of impact can he make?
Well,
realistically?
Listen, here's the thing about it. Not going to put up with any foolishness in the locker room. They won't do that, and it's a strong locker room, strong quarterback. Assume he's in good shape or they wouldn't have signed him. Can catch the football. They don't have a number two receiver. Ted Ginn's been injured. Cameron Meredith, as you know, from the Bears, not been able to stay healthy. Hadn't done much for him. Trekkon Smith has done a nice job as a rookie out of Central Florida, but they don't have a true number two receiver. Thomas is outstanding. He can come in. He's not a great route runner, is Dez Bryant, but they scheme open very well. and you get open, Drew's going to find you the football. I think he could have a real positive effect if it's headed on right. And I think he should be really excited about, you know, putting up some good numbers and really contributing to an offense. And it's a further, you know, an example of understanding that the Saints are in a win-now mode. They feel it. They know that with Drew Brees, who knows, he might play for another 3-4 years. But this is a team that's got a chance now. They've improved their defense last year with personnel. They're still vulnerable, but boy, they're a really good offensive team that's a real challenge. So they're feeling it, and they want to have all hands on deck and even add some hands to help them out down the stretch.
You've got a heck of a, I guess, theoretical MVP race right now. You could probably say Brees and Mahomes, Todd Gurley, maybe even Adam Thielen, just in terms of what each of those players has meant to their team so far this year. And, you know, a lot of it, I'm sure, will be determined on how they finish and what ends up happening and the numbers that are put up, who sits the last couple of weeks, who still needs to play because they're in it. But you've got some interesting guys and some guys that at the beginning of the year maybe you wouldn't have figured to be in the mix.
There's no question about it. I mean, when you got a rookie that's in the mix as a player of the year, it says an awful lot what's going on at Kansas City. Numbers will be a factor, but obviously creating wins is going to be a factor. So I think Mahomes and Brees are definitely in. You know, Brees has not won one of those things, and he's just had a phenomenal year. And you wonder if it's close, if he gets some of that. It shouldn't happen that way, but, you know, the guy's just been had a phenomenal career. I don't know that anybody's playing better. Heck, I throw Kamara in the mix is a guy that's a candidate. So, like anything else, it's about how you finish. We're getting close to Thanksgiving, and you know what the saying is, now that we flip the calendar to November, it's the games in November that's the ones you remember, and it's going to really kind of set the pace the rest of the way because, you know, even we talk about the Saints and everything, they're trying to fight off Carolina, and they got to play them twice. And that Carolina team's, without question, in my view, the third best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could also, and maybe by the time the year is up, you could throw Cam Newton in there, and no one's talking about what he's done. But what, he's thrown for 15 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. I mean, he's put together so far this year a heck of a season.
I tell you, who would win my award for assistant coach of the year right now is North Turner. What he's done with Cam, I didn't know how that would really fit. It's been outstanding, and what they've done with him is really allowed him to flourish. And, you know, they're not focusing. I thought he would try to, hey, let's improve his pocket skills. And they're letting him be what he is, and it's working very well. They're physical, and, you know, they can play pretty good defense. So they're a factor, and getting Cam Newton to the ground is always a challenge.
Yeah, the turnover numbers are staggering. He had double-digit interceptions and, you know, double-digit turnovers every year before this year. He's got just 6 through 8 games right now total, 4 interceptions, 2 fumbles.
Yeah, and, you know, they've won a couple of close games. Hey, you know, they beat the Giants in a miraculous 59-yard field goal at the end. Hey, welcome to the NFL. You're going to have to win some of those.
Yeah.
They're playing well, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. That's what I see with them. They're really going to be a tough team, and I think they're going to be a factor. And, of course, you know, how injuries factor in down the stretch to all of these players and teams are going to have a great deal of effect. It's shaping up a lot of fun. We know that, you know, Thursday night's going to be a great game because you've got, you know, the Steelers and the Panthers, and I think the NFC version or the AFC version of the Panthers would be the Steelers and how they're playing now. And while everybody's looking up at the Patriots and the Chiefs like they're looking up at the Saints and the Rams, I think the Steelers are playing really good football right now, and Tomlin's done a good job kind of calming the waters with all the Le'Veon Bell mess.
Yeah, playing basketball at LA Fitness. LandryFootball.com is where you go. LandryFootball.com. Chris, tell everyone what they're going to get when they go and sign up at LandryFootball.com.
Well, we take you inside the film room, give you a coaching and scouting perspective on the college game, the NFL game. We evaluate players, teams, coaches, schemes. We cover everything from recruiting to the draft. Break down these games going into the weekend, review the film after it, tell you what we see, what we uncover, to get a real lowdown on all these teams, what you're seeing, not the normal stuff that you get, but makes you what we think a smarter fan and understand the game from a coaching and scouting perspective. So you can find us on Landry Football, LandryFootball.com, on Twitter, at Landry Football. And as Chris said, we've got really every NFL team. We're now approaching right at 80 college programs that are members. So it's very, very affordable. For less than a magazine subscription, you can have access to your own coaching and NFL and college personnel style department.
Chris Landry, you're the best, man. Enjoy another great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back, Ozzie Smith with Tom Ackerman. Next on the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you, hanging out until the top of the hour on KMOX.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
KMOX is like the birthplace of sports broadcasting.
On KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman, always a treat to visit with the Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith. Ozzie, it's great to talk to you on KMOX as always. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great. I bring you on quite a bit, and you're always so gracious to come on the air. But this one is quite special because I wanted to talk to you about an award that you're receiving from those in the St. Louis Sports Commission that put on this tremendous event, the Musial Awards. I just want you to take a listen here. This is the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, Frank Viverito, on your position with the Gateway PGA, with the PGA Championship, and PGA Reach.
People at his level are put in positions like that all the time, and they go to a couple meetings, and that's that. But I don't know that there's ever been an advocate for kids and somebody in a position like that who worked harder than Ozzie, and it makes us so happy to connect with the PGA Championship, because the line that sticks with me from the PGA was, one of the objectives for this event was to show St. Louis in a different, more positive light, and I think that's exactly what the PGA Championship did, and I think that's exactly what the Musial Awards does.
Frank Viverito on KMOX talking about you, Ozzie Smith, and your efforts to benefit area young people and veterans through PGA Reach. What do you think about that?
Well, that's pretty special, Tom. Anytime you get mentioned in the same sentence or the same conversation, it's Dan Musial, who has been a standout first as an athlete and then as a human being here in the St. Louis area. So, to be receiving that award, it's very, very special to me. I'm very honored. I'm very humble. And, you don't do things, or I've never done things looking for the rewards that go with it. But when they come along, you accept them and you continue to do the work, because the work has to be done.
That it does. It was a heck of a year, wasn't it? A heck of a, decade, it seems like, putting it all together.
Yeah, it's been fun, and here again, and you've probably heard me talk about this before, I've always wanted to be proud of whatever community it was that I lived in. And to do that, you've got to make yourself available. And that's what I've tried to do, make myself available and help when I can. I've tried to help all the organizations here in the area at some point in time in my time here, and it just continues. I just kind of I feel that I have an obligation as an ex-athlete and as a citizen of this community
to do what I can to make it better. And that's all I'm trying to do. And as I said, I'm very honored to be receiving the Musial Award because it is so special and it's tied to such a special person.
This is PGA Reach's Ozzie Smith, the Hall of Famer, and we're going to talk, ask you a couple of quick baseball questions in a minute, but one more thing about St. Louis and the legacy. I feel like there's so much to come, and that's the area of helping kids, helping veterans, helping people in St. Louis, but also the future of golf in this area. I think we got the world's attention, didn't we?
We did. You know, that was a wonderful week, and I think most of us that live here understand and realize what a special sports town this is. And this year we gave the world an opportunity to see, and I think especially the golfing world, I think they were truly surprised by the turnout from Monday to Monday. And it was very, very special for all of us. And I you know, me, it was, I was like in heaven, you know, having the opportunity to watch a championship like that up close and personal. It was very, very special.
It was an amazing week, it really was, at Belrive Country Club at the PGA Championship. Ozzie Smith is with us. Ozzie, we recently lost your fellow Hall of Famer, Willie McCovey, one of the great sluggers of all time, and anyone who spent time around him talked about what a wonderful man he was, still very dedicated for many years to attending Giants games and being around the Giants. What do you remember about Willie McCovey?
Well, first of all, he was my mom's favorite, and you know, Willie was one of the few guys that came from Mobile, Alabama, which is where I was born. And anytime you've had a chance, as you mentioned, to spend time with me, had a smile that lit up the room. He's a gentle giant, but boy, could he hit it! He was the first Big Mac that I knew, and my first hit in the big leagues was against the San Francisco Giants. And when I got to first base, he gave me presented me with the ball and said, good luck, and many, many more. And I'll never forget that.
Wow. You think about a career that went from 1959 to 1980, and touching all those decades. What a giant of the game, really.
Yes, he was very, very consistent. As most of the guys who came from Alabama there, you know, you're talking about Mays, Aaron, McCovey, Billy Williams, Amos Otis, Tommy Agee. It was a special place and continues to be a special place. And you know, when I've had the opportunity here in the last month or so to talk to Hank. I get to talk to him periodically, and you know, that's special when you can talk and visit with people of that stature.
Ozzie Smith is with us. Just a final couple of things. The Cardinals sound like they're going to be aggressive this offseason. It's you know, it's big ticket items that are out there, and it does come down to money. But St. Louis still attractive, you know, among baseball players, isn't it, when it comes to free agency?
It certainly is. And here again, I'm not privy to, you know, what they're going to do, but I think that we've reached a point here now to where a level of frustration for all of us that are baseball fans here, that it's time for us to make a move and make a big move and make some changes that are going to get us back on track. We've kind of gotten off track here in the last 4 or 5 years, but you know, hopefully they'll be able to make some moves that'll get us back on track, and so we can start making the playoffs and enjoying postseason baseball as we've come accustomed to.
It'll be a new spring training regime as Mike Shildt and his staff will get together, and I'm certain you'll be part of that, won't you, Ozzie?
Yes, I'm sure. You know, I will be, and I look forward to it, and I look forward to a good year. You know, I think that Mike Shildt has proven that he's very, very capable, and I'm sure that when he puts his staff together, it's going to be a staff that gets back to the fundamentals that we are accustomed to around here, to watching winning baseball.
It's just seeing you with players and seeing them after they've spent some time with you. That's a special connection. Actually, you know, in a lot of ways, that's what the Cardinals are all about. That the fans, the players, you know, everybody feels it. There is a connection to the past and the standards that were set, a standard of excellence.
Well, it should be. That's the way it should be, Tom. And so it's always nice to be able to get back amongst your people and be able to visit and hopefully part some things that they'll be able to take with them that's going to make them better as ball players and hopefully better as people, because ultimately that's what it boils down to. And if I can be a part of that, then that makes me happy. That makes my heart smile.
This Musial Awards, I just want to say a few things about it before we go. It is one of the great nights in sports, period. I mean, it really is an amazing night. People in the audience, anybody watching this will need to bring some Kleenex, because it can be a tearjerker. They can be happy tears. It is so much fun. It's about sportsmanship and about doing the right thing, doing the remarkable. From stars and legends to everyday people, these are the nation's best sports that will be honored at the Musial Awards here in St. Louis on November 17th at the Stiefel Theater. There are tickets available at musialawards.com/tickets, or you can call 314-345-5111. I will be there. Ozzie Smith will be there. He has been with us on KMOX. Jim Tomey's going to be there, which is great. They talk about good guys. There's another one.
That's another one. And one of those old school guys. He did it the right way. He played the game the way the game's supposed to be played, and he finally got his place in rightful place in the Hall of Fame this past year. So he's always a great guy to visit with.
And Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt of Loyola, whose team went to the Final Four last year, and they're back at it again. She's ready for another basketball season. She will be there as well, being honored at the Musial Awards. It's going to be a great night at the Stiefel Theater on November 17th. Ozzie, always a pleasure. You have a terrific day, and I will catch up with you soon, I'm sure.
Okay, Tom, thank you.
Thank you
for everything.
Thank you. There's the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, on KMOX, and we are back right after this.
We're going to chase that Super Bowl.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line.
1, 2, 3, 7, 8!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, before we wrap up, we have Dan McLaughlin on the show all the time. Had him on earlier this week. His website is scoopswithdannymac.com, and an unbelievable conversation with Jim Cavanaugh from Worldwide Technology. Of course, one of the folks who is trying to bring Major League Soccer to St. Louis. Dan chatted with Jim. We bring you a couple of snippets of that conversation right now. First, on why right now is the right time, what's different than the last effort, and where they hope to go from here.
The number one reason is I think this is something that St. Louis needs. I think, you know, there's a lot of positive things going on in St. Louis. They don't always get recognized, and it almost seems in the last several years that the things that are recognized and promoted, whether locally and nationally, are negatives about St. Louis. So I think there's a lot of positive things going on economically and you know, from a community perspective here in St. Louis. This is one that complements all of those other things, the $8 billion in construction going on downtown. And St. Louis is just a hotbed for soccer, and we need to have an MLS team here. And I think it will bring a lot to the soccer fans, but it'll bring a lot to the overall community. So that's why I haven't given up on this.
What are the differences between the first go-around and this go-around?
A number of different differences, but there's some material ones. And obviously, having the Taylor family involved is quite significant. And it's not only with their involvement, but the approach we're taking is requesting less of public investment. It's not requiring a public vote. It's not requiring TIF money that taxes, you know, the general community and the city. So the request relative to public support is much less. And us having basically two local families that are completely committed to St. Louis, that have deep roots here from a business, philanthropy, community, and soccer, just make it really a perfect ownership team.
You
so
can,
that's really the, I would say, the most significant. That being said, I would say that Paul Ezerle, who I was working with before, is an absolute quality guy, high integrity, great guy, but he didn't live in St. Louis.
Sure. You can understand fans will say, well, now, wait a minute. There's tax implications here. Can you explain how the tax dollars work in supporting soccer here in St. Louis?
Yeah, obviously there's complexity in any tax structure, but it's simply, I can put it, it's a much less ask, you know, relative to the public money is one. Two, there's not a public vote, and the request that we have does not tax the general public, call it the citizens of the city of St. Louis. Individuals that will be get taxed will be only individuals that go to a game or an event at the stadium. So the ask is less, and the tax is only on individuals that go to a game or an event at the stadium.
All right, Jim Cavanaugh with Dan McLaughlin, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Going to play you one more chunk. You can hear the full conversation at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Urge you to do so. It is fascinating. But you heard right there the difference and the implications from the last ask to now the privately financed stadium. So where do they go from here? And again, more on the difference and the specifics. ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Jim Cavanaugh with Dan McLaughlin.
We're truly trying to make this, you know, as easy as possible to work this through the system. And I will tell you, you know, hats off to the governor and to the mayor and to the board of aldermen, you know, MoDOT and LCRA and everyone else involved, you know, because there's a complexity of the land. But everybody's been supportive. You know, obviously they're trying to negotiate what they think is the best deal for the city and for everyone. But they believe that this is a very, very good deal, and everybody's working together to make this happen. So I'm pretty excited about that. That's different than, you know, what we were dealing with last time. The governor was not supporting the effort. I don't think he really understood the math behind what we were trying to accomplish and how it could positively impact the city and the state. But this time around, everyone's working together to make this happen, because I think they can see how positive and impactful this can be to our city.
Absolutely. I want you to, if you can, give our fans an idea of the ownership group. I mean, we hear about the Taylor family, but if you could break down a little bit of the ownership group and who's involved, I think fans would like to hear about that too.
Yeah, this is something I think that's very important. We've intentionally kept it pretty simple. At the highest level, it's basically the Taylor family and the Cavanaugh family. That's, you know, the most simplistic structure that I could put. Then there's, you know, there could be, you know, the cascading down of some of the, call it the kids in the Taylor family and kids in the Cavanaugh family that, you know, may own portions of the organization. But the beauty of it, it's a small group that controls the investment and the operation. And that's something that's incredibly appealing to the MLS. Because if you look at, you know, the requirements here, the financial requirements are getting higher and higher, harder and harder from, you know, groups coming together. And some of these groups are pretty large and harder to control. LAFC has almost 30 to 40 people investing. Nashville and Cincy have a broader group of investors. So we have a pretty small, tight group that makes it easier to navigate, and it's more appealing for MLS. So we feel really good about it.
That is Jim Cavanaugh with Dan McLaughlin. Just a snippet of Dan's fantastic conversation. Can't recommend enough that you go to ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, listen to the whole thing, because if you're hoping that this thing happens, you want to hear what Jim has to say. And a lot of the, I think, nuances about what is different now and where they go from here that we haven't heard before. So kudos to Dan for getting that, and a great chat with Jim Cavanaugh. Scoops with DannyMac.com is the website. Big thanks as well to Derek Gould. Thank you to Chris Landry and Ozzie Smith. Ben Boyd, our executive producer. Mike Anderson's my guy here at the Camel X Studios. Blues and Sharks tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We will talk to you then. Until then, Chris Raby saying this has been the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Online. Be nice to each other, and as always, peace!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.